thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
First Corinthians chapter 10 speaks a lot about the journey of Israel. And today's message is about what do you think America's future is? Or what is America's future? Headed where we're headed. Could we possibly be making some of the same mistakes that Israel did in their journey? But more than anything, this message is going to apply to you individually. It's going to apply to your family. And then, of course, it's going to apply to our nation. And I'm not going to stand up here and prophesy times or what I think exactly is going to happen. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some scripture. And in this scripture, I'm going to allow each and every one of you to come to your own conclusion. What do you think the future of America is? Based upon the Word of God, not based upon your opinion or opinions of others. And so, as we look at the Word, sometimes we can look at the Word and we can almost try to exempt ourselves from the Word, saying, oh, well, that's not for me. That doesn't pertain to me. But it does. It pertains to all of us. If we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it pertains to all of us. And so we've got, our nation is in trouble. And we have the hope of the Word of God, and we have the hope of the church that will pray. As I prayed even earlier today, our strongest place, our tallest place is on our knees. When we're on our knees in prayer, we're stronger and taller than we could ever be. Because we've humbled ourselves before the Lord. And so even through the scripture that I'm going to give you this morning, we're going to end up in that place, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Because it's so true, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek the face of God, then he'll bring healing. But other than that, we don't really have any other hope based upon what we see happening in our nation. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in his word. Our hope is in the body of Christ, praying and believing. Our hope is that the fathers and mothers will train up their children and the children will not depart from it. Our hope is those that have been cast aside and may think that their life is a wreck and they have no purpose would all of a sudden understand that Jesus wants to be with them and wants to heal them and wants to establish them and position them. God is so graceful and loving. If you even begin to see how many people in the Bible, this is kind of getting off track, but how many people in the Bible committed murder, but yet God forgave them, and through his grace, he established them. But if that was someone that we knew, we would probably judge them, and they would never, ever be in ministry again. But yet God sees things differently because he views the position of a man or a woman's heart. And at any moment, you can give your life back to Christ or you can reposition your heart. And so today, this morning, we're going to look at a scripture in Galatians. And then we're going to walk through the Bible a little bit this morning. And we're going to try to come to our own decision. God, what are you saying about America's future? Where are we headed? What's going to take place? Because we need to pray, guys, about America's future today and every day. If we believe the Bible, then we also have to believe that there are consequences that God puts in motion when we choose to walk away from him. And then everyone says, oh, why God, why did you do this to me? There are consequences that happen. It's just his principles. It's his way. And so I'm going to be talking about one principle today that I want myself to get. I want my family to get. I want you to get it as a body of believers. I want to make sure you understand it and your family understands it. Because there's consequences that's going to happen if we don't choose to walk in the ways of God. We choose sometimes what we want to believe instead of really believing what the Bible says. So is it possible to predict a nation's future? Can we anticipate what's going to happen based upon the trends that we see in America and the things taking place? Are we going to walk in freedom, what we spoke about? Are we going to walk in poverty? Are we going to be an oppressed people? Are we going to be a people filled with life because of the Spirit of the Lord living within us and moving through us? And so the principle today is this principle. You will reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later than you sow. If there's anything I want you to get, it's these words right here. You will reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later than you sow. No one can predict the future, but by history and by understanding this principle, we can begin to see what's at hand and where our nation is positioned. So we look at our nation. If there's anything, let me ask you this question. Is there anything worth looking at that would help you in predicting the future of our nation? What would be the number one thing you could depend upon to look at? The Scripture, the Bible, what it says. And that way you get an idea of where we're headed and what's taking place. It's the Word of God will give us the direction of our nation. The Bible, it's huge. You will reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later than you sow. Let me explain this. Let's look at the Scripture in Galatians. Chapter 6, we'll look at verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. Basically, it's saying, do not be lied to by yourself or anyone else. God is not mocked. That word mocked is this. Mocked means like turning your nose up to somebody. Like, huh, and walking away. That's what it means to be mocked. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. Don't live in a lie. Understand the Word of God and what it's saying. Whatever a man or woman sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us, verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Now what I just said about that phrase is right there in that scripture. That's where it's at. Do not be deceived. It says, for he who sows in the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows in the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Every farmer in this region understands that principle. Every farmer. It's a principle that is not going away. It's the Word of the Lord. Young people, I want you to listen up. Get this in you. Don't be distracted. Because whatever you're sowing right now in the flesh, it's going to reap. You're going to reap it. Whatever you're doing in your family, what you're sowing, you're going to reap it. God's principles will not be mocked, no matter if you embrace the Lord or you don't. It's going to happen because His principle says that it will. But at any moment, we can turn around and turn our lives around and trust the Lord and not be moved by our flesh. We all have been moved by our flesh. It's corrupt. What does it mean to live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit? And that's what the Lord is saying today. Every farmer understands it. You know, we take a kernel of corn, boom. What happens? Got this stalk, it grows. And then all of a sudden, you've got all kinds of corn. But what happens? It takes a while, doesn't it? Doesn't it take a while? So that's what I'm saying. It takes a while for this to happen. So God's grace and His mercy many times will be upon you in the fact that you're living in your flesh and you haven't said yes to the Lord. You're saved, you're born again, but you're living for the world. You're living under the opinions of the flesh. And you're enjoying it. Because it satisfies you. And God's saying, do not be satisfied by your flesh. Do not walk after the ways of the world, but after Him. Put that up on the screen again, David, so we get that. We reap what we sow more than we sow. God's given us an opportunity to stop it, to turn to Him, to walk to Him, to trust Him, to lay everything down, to surrender. Because what's happening, there's a time period. And the loss, if we choose to follow after our flesh in the ways of the world, when the harvest comes of that sinful way, it's going to overwhelm us. It's going to be huge. But in the same way, if we sow in the Spirit, it will be beautiful. We don't lose heart. God's blessings are amazing. What's coming is amazing. It's coming. Now, how do you sow? Today, you will sow. When you walk out of this room, you're going to sow. You're going to sow in your attitude. You're going to sow in your words. You start sowing as soon as you get up in the morning. What are you sowing every day? See, God is wanting to get to know us. God is wanting for us to know Him. And so every day, what if we just sow 1 hour, just 1 hour to God in the Word of God, reading the Word and praying, just 1 hour. We find it. We make it happen. And we're not distracted by other things pulling us away. But we take that hour and we center ourselves on His Word. Now we're sowing His Word in us for the day. Now it's having impact in us for the whole day and for the week and for our lives. Because we're allowing it to have its way within us. And so if we sow in the flesh, if we sow in the flesh in the workplace, that's what we're going to reap. We're going to live a fleshy life. We're not going to understand things. And God's saying, come back to me. Come back to me. Sow in the Spirit. It's amazing what the Lord wants to do with us. This principle needs to be explained. This principle is not going away. This principle of God needs to be embraced by me, by you, all of us, to understand what we sow, we're going to reap. It's going to come out later. So don't be deceived. Don't allow God to be mocked in your life. You're going to reap it. Sowing in the flesh. Let's look at sowing in the flesh. Go to Galatians 16 through 21. Now, if we sow in the flesh and not the Spirit, this is what's going to take place. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. If you don't have much of a battle going on right now, you need to get close to Jesus, because there should be a battle raging. The fear of the Lord hit me this morning. I just got on my knees, and I knew that, God, I got to be on my knees much more than I am. There needs to be that battle going on. If there's no battle and you're just walking in your own ways, doing your own thing, you can be religious in that too. Just want to make sure of that. You can be doing a lot of godly things and be walking in your flesh. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. Boy, she's wearing something a lot nicer than me. Outbursts of anger or wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I had told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 22. But if you're sowing in the Spirit, if you really are sowing in the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Jesus died for this, so that we could walk, so the Holy Spirit could live in us, and we could walk by the Spirit. We could have victory in our lives and not just go through the motions. If you practice sin, you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap it sooner or later. But if we practice sowing in the Spirit, we're going to reap righteousness and goodness. And our attitude is going to be different. And those moments of great anger and wrath are going to begin to leave us, because we're sowing in the Spirit and the Spirit is having control. And folks, let me say this to you. It really is a simple life. It's not that big of a deal. It is for eternity, but it's simple. By being just with Christ, we make it too complex. Just be with Him and listen to Him. You don't have to measure up to the greatness of man. Just be who you are in Christ and let Him speak to you. There's a story about this preacher that he was real successful as a preacher, you know. And man, big church, all this going on. And his mom would come to visit, and And he would come to the, she would come to the church, and she had these kind of old clothes, and she never had really bought many new things, you know, but she was close to the Lord. And he would say, Mom, you got to, come on, Mom, let us buy you something. Oh, and she just smiled at him. It didn't matter to her. You know why? She was in love with Jesus. And after she went to be with Jesus, he understood this in a greater way. It's the love of Jesus that begins to, how about the road rage? I know none of you have road rage in here. How about the road rage? If you're in the flesh, you know, and somebody cuts you off right away, what happens? Okay? But if you're in the spirit, somebody cuts you off, you go, oh, poor thing. He just doesn't know any better. God bless him. You know? Really? I'm being serious. Really? Oh, he's all right. Lord, get him. You know? It's a totally different thing. And, you know, it's true, though. It's how it is. And we're all guilty of that stuff. But we just need to come to the Lord and just allow the Lord. I've told this story many times. Some of you are new here. But, you know, when people would really get mad at me driving, they would give me that beautiful sign from their hand, you know. And I started doing this. I told Deanna, I started going like this. I'll be praying for you. And they would look at me like, are you kidding me? And I knew it was the enemy. I knew the enemy was doing this to me because it was happening too frequently. Or maybe it was my driving. Maybe I should confess. It was my driving. But what happened was nobody gives me that sign anymore. And I wonder, like, what happened? I pray for them. And I tell them I'm going to pray for them. I'm not telling you I'm a saint in that at all because I have my moments. But I'm telling you I shifted because I allow the Spirit to have its way with me. My wife wrote an amazing book called Masterpiece of the Wilderness. And you have no idea how many people have been impacted by that book globally. But most people don't even want that book because it deals with the crucified life. And nobody really wants to die to their flesh. I'm not saying anybody. I shouldn't say that. But a lot of folks don't want to hear that kind of stuff. But you see, it's in vulnerability and brokenness that God says, this is great when you act that way. When you're broken and vulnerable and you bring things before me. When you exalt yourself or we're caught up in the flesh each and every day, you don't have grace for people. You know, that's not pleasing to the Lord. And so I just encourage you, we want to sow in the Spirit. We don't want to indulge in the flesh. Sowing in the Spirit means exactly that. We mean that we surrender to the Holy Spirit and we let him have his way, okay? That's what we need to do, and it's right there in Galatians. And we need to express our love for Jesus. Okay, another thing. A person who sows in wickedness does not escape the harvest of this action. It's in Galatians 6:7. You can read it again. Because we lie to ourselves and we think that everything is okay. And America really used to believe a lot in the Bible. But a lot now is going the opposite direction. And so we just need to come back to the Lord and trust him in every situation. And we need to understand that there's consequences. Now, again, when you come before the Lord and you repent, the Lord will forgive you, release you. Now, sometimes those consequences still live out in your life. And God has grace for that, love for that, and to move you through that. But eventually, you know, if you come before him with the right heart, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, renew a right spirit in me, he will be with you, he'll help you through that, and you can walk and get free from that stuff. If not, you're going to pass it all on to your children, and it's going to go on and on and on. And so fathers and mothers, you need to really understand that. Are you going to be sowing in the Spirit into your children's life? Because if you're not, when things happen or they do things and you're saying, what happened? You need to look first to yourself. Did I raise up my children in the ways of God? You know, you always love them. You always help them. You always encourage them. Because, you know, no one, you've heard the story that if you guys knew everything about me, you wouldn't come and hear me speak. And if I knew everything about all of you, I wouldn't want to come here and preach to you. Right? Have you heard that before? I think everybody has. It's really true. If it wasn't for God's grace and mercy, all of us, oh my gosh, where would we be? But here we are in a good place with Jesus, I hope. So when we apply this principle to the United States of America, according to Scripture, what do you see? What do you see happening? For generations, we allowed the Bible to be used in schools and in the courthouses. For generations. We allowed the Ten Commandments to be on the lawn at court buildings. We allowed a lot of things. We've never been perfect by no means, but yet we really wanted God to be the focus of this nation. And why not? There's never been a nation like this anywhere. There's no history of a nation that really started with the fundamentals of God. There was 56 people that wrote the Declaration of Independence, and only two of them weren't Christians. Only two of them. Who were they? Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. You're probably asking that. Only two of them. But all of them were Christians, and the way that it read. So here we have the United States was founded on these principles of Scripture. We have court cases and sessions in Congress. They would open with prayer during that time period. They sowed faith in God, and they reaped blessings, but they were still working through a lot of things that needed to change in America, there's no doubt. But somebody was part of that Scripture when it said, "Do not be deceived." Somebody embraced it, and laws begin to change. Prayer, and you all know this, you've heard it, and Bible reading were banned from public education. Anything that mentioned God was removed from government buildings. I remember when Dave Miller was really fighting to try to keep the Ten Commandments in Elkhart. It was removed. Crosses of other symbols of faith came under attack. And that was mostly through the court systems that came under attack. We legalized the killing of unborn babies. And now we know that 50 million babies have been taken, murdered. We understand that. That's what's happened. Now we're dealing with same-sex marriage. And these same-sex unions are being embraced in many different states, although God's word absolutely forbids it. Turn to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Oh, that's Old Testament. The Lord's word is the Lord's word. Leviticus 20, 13 says, "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." And you can also read in Romans chapter 1. One of these days, if I say something like that, they might be coming in to get me. They'll just have to. Because I think that's what's happened to our nation. We've gotten more to be cowards than men and women that stand up for the name of Jesus. I remember Charles Stanley telling a story one time about him. He was going to be interviewed. You know, he's in Atlanta, Georgia, and great man of God. And he was going to be interviewed on the station. And there was something big going on in Atlanta, Georgia, and they got him because he had one of the largest churches there. And so they interviewed him, and the lady, you could tell, he said, was really prepped about not using God or Jesus too much. You know, she was really staying away from it. And he said he was just watching how she was maneuvering through the interview so that Jesus would never come up. And it was pretty good how she had done it. And he was just sitting there, and in his spirit, you know, he figured she was afraid or something to even say God or say Jesus. And so in the interview, he said that he stopped her and he said, "Ma'am, are you afraid of the name Jesus?" And he tells a story. It's hilarious. But she just froze, you know, because they wouldn't say anything. And that's what's going on. That name is forbidden right now. That name that we just said was above every other name that we sang about, that we proclaimed, and what the Word of God said about that name, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that name is becoming forbidden to say. Same-sex marriages, they're recognized. We fight this battle on our knees. We fight this battle on our knees, and that's where we have to go to. This is a principle of God. What you reap, you will sow. There's time to turn things around. There's time, but we have to pray. There's time to turn things around in your life. There's time to walk in freedom and stand for truth. You're going to walk through some consequences, but you know what? God will walk you through those. When you begin to walk by the Spirit, it doesn't mean that everything's okay now. But now you walk by the Spirit through challenges and trials and hard times and difficulties. You're not walking in your flesh anymore. We won't go to Philippians 2, but we went there earlier, looked at it. His name is becoming a forbidden word, I wrote down. Essentially, our nation has said, "We don't need you, God. We don't need you." Turn to the fifth chapter of Isaiah. Fifth chapter of Isaiah, verse 20. When God says woe, when he says woe, woe means disaster and calamity. It means disaster and calamity. So he says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe, disaster and calamity to men and women mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. Who justifies the wicked for a bribe? Who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man? Therefore, look at this. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness, and their blossom will ascend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. So where are we headed? What's the future of America? Where are we headed? What are we doing? Man can pass laws legalizing ungodly behavior, but you need to know this. These principles in the Word are not going to change. This Word is not going to change, no matter what, no matter what. So understand that. So what are your scriptural responsibilities? That's a question. First of all, I believe that we all need to stand up and profess who we are in Christ and not shrink back and not minimize using the name of Jesus. Don't allow His name to become a forbidden word with you. Don't let that happen. We need to stand and we need to face where we are as a nation and as a people and begin to pray as believers. We need to live out the convictions of the Holy Spirit. We need to allow love to have its way in our lives. We don't even need to be in ministry if we can't learn how to love. We need to slow down a little bit and get to know Him again and make sure that He's our first love in everything. We need to speak up and not be ashamed of His name, because one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess who He is. We need to cry out to God that He would change the direction of our nation and change the direction of our own personal lives and our families. He promises that He will, and He's going to respond to it based on 2 Chronicles 7:14 on the screen. That is a principle. That is a truth. That is the Word of God. If you hold on to it, it will come to pass. That scripture almost needs to be at the core of our nation. It needs to be at the core of who we are as a people. We need to stop trying to build big ministries and big churches and just become a people of prayer that know God and love God and begin to stand in the workplace, that really have community again and start hanging out to each other. We've got to be so careful about how we're going to walk out of this room and what we're going to sow, even about the words that I spoke. Because I'm telling you, I'm not speaking nothing that's contrary to the Word of God. This is what the Word of the Lord says. This is the condition of our nation. And don't go, woe is me. Let Jesus love on you. Let Him speak to you. Let Him establish you in your destiny and your purpose. It is never too late with Jesus. Never. Never. Things can shift and change immediately because of the position of your heart and your love for Him. Let the Spirit of God attack every excuse in you about why you're not doing this and doing that for the Lord and living for Him. He just wants to know you. That's what He wants. He wants to know you. It's really a lot more simpler than we put it. He wants to know you. Cry out. My conclusion is this. Try to get this. I'm going to say it again. Write it down if you can. We reap what we sow more than we sow and later than we sow. So if you're sowing in the flesh, it may take a while, but it's going to come back on you. But the Lord said, I can change that right now. So you're going to either have a harvest of walking by the Spirit or you're going to have a harvest of walking by the flesh. That's your choice today. Now you understand this principle. Now you can kind of decide, what's the future of America? You can decide in your own life, what's your future? Because sometimes only you and God know what's going on. Sometimes. So what are you sowing? Michael, could you come up? I want to play that where the Spirit of the Lord is. Just want to sing that before we leave. What are you sowing? What will your life look like? Will you respond? We can cry out even today and change things as we say yes. We can cry out for our nation. The principles are true. Where are we headed? Why don't you stand for a minute? As we go to prayer, I just want to challenge you about an hour a day with the Lord. That you just open up your Bible, you start reading. I want to challenge you with this too. Don't read about what other people are saying about God. There's too much of that. I'm not saying there aren't people that are hearing from God, because they are. I'm not saying I don't like to get a good teaching from different men and women that have poured into my life. I do. But I'm talking about excluding all that and having just an hour with God. Just an hour with Him. Or you read the Bible and you pray. I'm going to challenge you to that. I guarantee you that if you'll just make that commitment and that discipline, things will begin to shift in you, in your family, wherever you're at with what you're doing. Because you're sowing in the Spirit, and you're going to start reaping things. As soon as you start reading the Word, you begin to sow in the Spirit. It starts ministering to you. He wants to know you, so He wants you to sit and wait for Him. I don't know where they got this, but there's a statistical study that the average Christian spends about 8 minutes in prayer a day, where the Lord says in His Word to pray unceasingly. Bring everything before Him through your whole day. 8 minutes. I don't think America's going to change without an outcry. And it's happening. It's happening all over the world. I want it to happen even more in me and in you. And walking in the ways of God, it's not a building, guys. It's a gathering of God's people. It's not how slick we pull off a service. It's about how much we love Jesus. And the lack of judgment and critical. You know why we're critical sometimes? Because we're afraid. When you got a critical spirit going on, it's keeping you from sowing. If you are critical about other people, you're going to reap that. It's going to come. It's a principle in the Word. So if I was you, I wouldn't speak any ill will of anybody anytime. I try to speak life. You got to speak truth, because sometimes merit that. It merits that. But speak love. Speak filtered through the Spirit and through the love of God. Try to start fasting one day a week. You can do it. Just try it. Just one day. Oh, I don't know what's going on in my life. Should my first question be to myself and to you? Are you praying and in the Word for an hour a day? Well, no. Do you ever fast? Because you know what the fasting does? Everybody pretty much knows that. It causes your inner man to soar and your spirit to strengthen. Because what are you doing? Very simple principle. You're denying the flesh its ways. And now you can begin to apply those toward other things that you do. It's real simple. I couldn't fast today. Are you kidding me? Come on. He died. He laid everything down for us. Before you fast, read Isaiah 53 and see if you can make it through that day. As Jerry Reeder used to say, nothing like a little food to get you through your fast. He would say that jokingly, but you know, sometimes we blow it. But you know what? You get right back on it. You keep praying. You keep fasting. Jerry's grown. He finally called me on the phone and said, I realized popcorn is not a vegetable. So on the Daniel fast, you can no longer have popcorn. It's a true story. He confessed it. Because I'd always catch him eating popcorn on a Daniel fast in his office. It's a vegetable. Okay. The last thing here as we close. America loves comfort and materialism. Loves it. We can never get enough. Do you really need more than Him? Keep your life simple. I beg of you, keep your life simple before the Lord and watch what He does and how He moves. When you stand before Jesus, you also will give an account of your time and your money. The principle, Stan hit on it, of sowing and reaping. your time and your money, what are you doing with it? And are you truly being faithful in giving? Do you give to the Lord? Let's pray. Lord, I just come before you. This was I believe, a timely word for us, for our nation. No one is exempt. No one is exempt in this room from your principle, from your word. Lord, I ask that you would help us to be honest, that we wouldn't live in fear, but we'd really speak to one another, that we wouldn't get on each other's case, but we'd help each other to sow in the Spirit. So we ask the question today, what will you sow today? Do we believe your word, Lord, the principles that you bring? And will we apply it through this day? Will America turn back to you? We pray right now in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, that the body of Christ would arise throughout this nation, that our nation would turn around to you, that we would embrace the principles that you put in motion in your word, that we would learn from Israel's mistakes, pray for Israel. We ask that you bless them. We pray for the body of Christ in this region called Michiana, that the kingdom of God would go forth, and that today would be a specific day for men and women in this place right now. That today would be the day that they would make a decision with you, Lord. That they would turn their lives around and give everything to you. We're going to sow walking out of here. We're going to get up tomorrow morning, Monday, and we're going to either sow in the flesh or we're going to sow in the Spirit. Your grace is sufficient. Your love never fails. So we ask, will you help us? Could we sing that song just once?
Spirit of Lord.
Just make this song a matter of prayer, petition, proclamation.
But the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And if you're tired and you're thirsty, there is freedom. Tired and you're thirsty,
Holy Spirit, have your way.
There is freedom. So freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace fall.
The things that were shared today. I want to remind you again, please bring some friends out. We're just going to have a great time. We're not going to be here next Sunday. We'll be at the camp, and there's directions on the back if you need to know how to get there. We're going to start at 11 o'clock, just have about an hour service of worship and just sharing from the Word. Just real quick, we're going to have some games. We're going to have a lot of fun. And we want all the people that usually help in these things, we want them to enjoy themselves, and others, we want others to step up and help. bring a dish if you'd like to bring a dish, but if you're going to bring it, you know, make sure that it's there by 10:30 so we can get, you know, eating right away. And you don't want a bunch of grouchy folks walking around that are hungry playing games. So, yeah. So we have some horseshoes, we have some cornhole too. We can have some of that. We'll just have a good time, all right? God bless you. Go in peace. I'm going to be speaking this message here Tuesday night at the meeting place. I'm going to change it up a little bit. So if you want to bring somebody out, they're going to hear pretty much close to the same thing this Tuesday night here at the meeting place. We'd love to have you. Go in peace and have a great day. And may you sow in the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.